we have tonight preaching for us, Brother Brandon Cook. He's a graduate of Crown College in Tennessee, and in January he'll take the position here of children's minister here at our church. So, Brandon, come tell us what God's laid upon your heart.
All right, did I do it right?
Okay. Oh, amen. I'm ready for Pastor to come back already. I need Brother Harry to help me with hospital visits or something, because I'm kind of doing everything while I'm down here, and I think it's a good place for me to learn and to grow, kind of do everything while everybody's gone. But my first hospital visit took me 5 hours because I found the hospital finally, and then he wasn't at the hospital, he was somewhere else. And you saw the rain and the traffic yesterday, so that was bad. And then I had the surgery this morning for Brother Mike, and they moved it up to a later date, so I was there for 4 hours. So I'm really not good at this hospital visit, and I'm not here enough downstairs anyway for the prayer lesson, things like that. So I'm visiting people and asking the Lord to pray for them for whatever's going on with them, because I have no idea what's wrong with them. So pray for me while Pastor's gone. If you would, in your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. Matthew 25 and 23. And once you get over to there, stick your finger in there and turn to Luke 17:10. So you got Matthew 25:23 and Luke 17:10. You found it, say amen. All right, maybe I'll wait a little longer. All right. Matthew 25:23 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And in Luke 17:10 it says, So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the blessing you've given us, Lord. I pray that you be with me, Lord, as I try to bring forth a message from your word. I pray that you remove me out of the equation, Lord, that your word can speak for itself, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, as we see in these two verses, the first verse says, the servant comes before the Lord and he says, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few, I'm going to give you many. And then in the other verse in Luke, it says the servant came before him and said, We are unprofitable servants because we did... I don't want to do it wrong here. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And there's a huge contradiction there. Well, it's not a contradiction, it's a contrast between the two different servants. And a lot of times we hear all the time that it's our reasonable service that we do this in the church, and it's our reasonable service that we should do that in the church. And we say, all right, we should do that. And yeah, that is our reasonable service, but we never go beyond that. Today I'd like to just bring forth a couple points here to five ingredients to serve the Lord effectively. In school, Brother Knickerbocker over at Crown Southwest, he always said, you know what? God loves you, Brandon. But does he like you? And I was like, of course he likes me. He likes everybody. He said, no. God loves you, but does he like you? God has plenty of Christians and servants that are serving him that are unprofitable. He has a lot of people that you say, you know what? When they get to heaven, maybe it's even me. When I get to heaven, I don't want God to say, you know what? Man, I wish I could just take back all the air you wasted and give it to somebody else, because you weren't worth anything to me. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to do more than just what is reasonable for me to do. I want to do more than my reasonable service. But to do that effectively, in junior church we said, you know what? Every time I come up here I say the five-star Christian. That's what we learn in junior church. Not because I don't have anything else better to do, but because it's important. And we just do five reasonable service things. We pray, we read our Bible, we witness, we give, and we attend church faithfully. Those five things. I know some of us could say, you know what, I didn't do but two or three of those things this week. That's reasonable service. We're not even hitting the unprofitable mark on half of the stuff. But I want to be profitable. I want God to like me. I want to do something great for Him. I know it's not in of myself, but what he says in his word. So I want to find out how God says, and you know what? If you're not doing these things, then you're not going to be profitable. I want to know how to be profitable to him. If you turn over to Proverbs 4, 16 and 17. Proverbs 4, 16, and then we'll go over to 1 and 7. I'm doing this stick your finger in the Bible thing a lot. Sorry. But as Christians, we're bondmen to Jesus Christ. And it's our duty to be a profitable servant to the Lord. I want God to like me. I want to be somebody great for Him. We're about to start a new building program. We're starting to go forward. We're seeing growth in our church. I want us to be profitable. I want it to keep going. I want us to be worth something to the Lord. In Proverbs 4:16 it says, "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall." The first thing we need in our lives is the fear of God. We need fear. One of the ingredients we need in our lives to be a prophet servant is fear. And we don't see that anymore. You don't see it on TV. You don't see it anywhere anymore. We've gotten to the point where the fear of God doesn't matter. As long as we make it a joke or we make it funny, then it's not wrong anymore. And that's not true. I used to live by that when I wasn't living right. And to me, you could make fun of somebody, whatever you had to do. If it was funny, it wasn't wrong anymore. And we've gotten to that point where we desensitize ourselves. We don't have the fear of God anymore. We don't have the holiness in our lives anymore because we don't hold God in reverence to where it should be. We've become those people that don't have a fear of the Lord. We can't go to sleep unless we do mischief. There's so many things that are just wicked on TV, and we could go on all day about that. And I might hit on one of your shows or not, but I'm not going to get into that right now. I don't know. I don't know what you listen to at home. I don't know what you watch at home. But I know that we need to have a reverential fear of the Lord that we don't have anymore. I don't want to be somebody that God doesn't like. If you turn over to Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction." Someday we're going to stand before an almighty God. We're going to have to give account for what we've done or what we haven't done. And a lot of us haven't done anything because we don't have that reverential fear of the Lord. A lot of us find other things to do when the pastor's out of town on a ski trip than go to church. We don't have that same fear. We don't have that reverence. To think that God could do whatever He wanted to us right now, but He loves us so much that He's keeping us here for a reason. We don't have that anymore. And the Bible says right here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the fool hates instruction. If we don't fear the Lord, the Bible says it's more than He doesn't like us, we're idiots, basically. It's not very nice. But if you don't have the reverential fear of the Lord, realizing what He can do to you, not so much that God's going to hurt you, but that you could hurt God by the way you live and the way you act and the way you speak. And the Bible says, then you're not worth anything. You're an idiot. I want to be profitable for the Lord. I want to do something great. Now, you can go and email the pastor afterwards and tell him I told everybody that they were idiots all you want. But that's not the point of the sermon. That's not the point I'm trying to make here. I want to be something worth something to the Lord. I want to be something great for God. And right now, I don't know what in your own heart, but I know that I could have a greater fear of the Lord. I know growing up I had a great fear of the Lord. My mom made sure of that. But now I'm on my own and the world's changed a little bit. Things are just a joke now. Things aren't the same. And after a while, I guess we just get desensitized. We don't go along with it anymore. And we just go with the flow. We laugh at things that of the Lord that we shouldn't laugh at. We make jokes that we shouldn't make. God isn't a real person to us anymore. How can we be a profitable servant if we don't have fear in the Master? We don't have reverence to the Master. No man can serve God effectively without a holy fear of God. Now the holiness of God is His signature. It should be evident in our lives. People should see it. The blind man in John 9 says he was blind not because his parents were sinners, not because he was a sinner, but because the Lord wanted to make Himself manifest. Manifest means to be made known. And we were blind once. We were beyond our own help. We were living in darkness, and God saved us so we could be somebody that His glory could be made manifest in us. And we can't be effective for the Lord in our workplace when we're a joke. When we make God a joke, we can't do that. So first of all, the ingredient we need to be an effective Christian, to serve the Lord effectively, is we need fear. We need the fear of God. The second thing we need is fellowship. In 1 John 1:3, we see that. It says, "That's which we have seen and heard, and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And in verses 6 through 7, you see it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And in the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." There needs to be a fellowship, not just with the brethren here, but we need to have a greater fellowship with the Lord. I was always told, I don't have kids, but I was told if you want to like your kids, then you got to make your kids that other people like. If other people like your kids, then you're going to like your kids. It's kind of the same way with the Lord. It's a little opposite though. If we have a great fellowship with the Lord, we're going to have a great fellowship with our brethren. We're going to have a great fellowship in this church. We need to be in one accord, in unity. We can't start a building project or any other ministry. I can't start as, you know, whatever in this church, any ministry, really, unless we're all in one accord. And a lot of you have kids up in my junior church. And there's a lot of people that aren't here tonight that have kids in my junior church. I'm not pointing out anybody, but I've hit home with this. I said, the point of the church is, and we went on for 5 weeks, the point of the church is to glorify God. And then we went on and told them why we need to be in church, for the encouragement, for the fellowship. And we went on down all these things. It's so we can be in one accord. And they understand, you know, fourth through sixth graders, that we need to be in one accord. It took them for a while to get over that it wasn't a clown car concept where we all had to be in this one little compact car. It's a different accord than that. They had to understand that. But once they got past that, it was pretty amazing. They said, you know what? We can't start a building project. I got a little kid raise their hand and say, you know what? I don't think we can start a building project right now. I said, well, why do you think that? I said, you know what? My mom and daddy, they don't pray with me anymore. They don't read the Bible. And we told them to be in one accord means we're in unity. And the only way we can be in unity as spiritually, we're all in different places. Some of us are younger in our Christian walk. Some are older. Some of us struggle with all different things. We're all going all over the place. The only way we can be going in the same direction in unity is we have one single point to go towards, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So it doesn't matter if, you know, I'm a new Christian or you're an old Christian. If we're all going towards the same point, as we get closer to Jesus Christ, we get closer together. We grow in unity, and we become more powerful together as Christians. We become more effective. And to see a little kid say, you know what, I don't think we can start a building project because my mom and daddy, they don't read the Bible to me anymore. If they can get it, we can get it. It's amazing what they say out there. It hurts. It breaks my heart sometimes, but sometimes they surprise me. They understand it. They get it. Seems like all I ever preach is the Gospels and Psalms and Proverbs, but that's basic stuff that most of us just have left behind. If you want to be a profitable Christian, you have to have fellowship one with another. You have to have fellowship with the Lord. If you have the right fellowship with the Lord, you will have the right fellowship with your brethren here. You're all going to the same point. You're in unity and one accord. Your goal is God. But if you don't have the right fellowship with God, you can't. It's not that you won't. You cannot have the right fellowship with your fellow brethren here. It's so wonderful when the children of God are in unity. And usually it's just attributed to, you know, oh, I remember back when we started our church, you know, everybody had to do everything. You know, I was the Sunday school director, the puppet guy, I was the song leader and everything else. We just did everything. And you know what? We were so in tune with God. We were such unity. We're all going the same direction. I remember those days. They were great. What happened? Where did they go? Did they have to stop because we got bigger?
Yeah.
Really? No. It's because our goal changed. If we have fellowship with God, we'll continue to have that fellowship one with another. It also weeds out those people that don't want to have that fellowship. I remember when I wasn't living right. You know, the people that angered me the most, the people that were closest to God. Every day it seemed like they were beating me over the head and this and that. And they were just living right. That's all they were doing. So, you know, let's go over here and do this. No, I don't think I can do that. Why? Because it'll displease the Lord. It made me mad. all the time. And then when I finally realized, you know what? Their goal is God. They're going towards the Lord. They're all going the same direction. I'm getting beat up because I'm running all over the place and knocking into people. I need to get my focus straight and get it on the Lord. So, our first ingredient was fear. Our second ingredient was fellowship. Our third ingredient is forgiveness. We're going to stay in 1 John, go over to verses 9 through 10. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. A lot of times why we don't have the fellowship we need is because we don't have the forgiveness in our hearts. Not just for forgiving others, but we haven't gotten forgiveness from the Lord. We haven't asked forgiveness for our sins. We get to the point now that we come to the altar just to make ourselves feel better. I've done it too. You get a heavy burden, the Lord works on your heart, and you go here just to kind of lay it aside so you feel better. We can't be doing that anymore. We need God's forgiveness. He forgave us for everything. We need to forgive others as well. A lot of times I don't think that we get to this altar and really ask for forgiveness like the Bible says. We don't call it sin anymore. We say, Lord, I messed up this week. I did those things that I used to do, and I'm sorry. Help me to do a better job. No, it's sin. We need to get to the point where we can say, Lord, what I did today, I know it's a sin in the face of You. In the face of the Holy Spirit, I grieve today. It's a bad testimony in my church. It is sin. What I did is wrong, and I know You hate it, and I need to get rid of it. A lot of us don't get to that point of forgiveness because we didn't do the first thing. We don't have that fear of God anymore. Sin isn't that big of a deal anymore. When we see where God is in our fear, we're going to see where we are. When we see where we are, we're going to realize how much sin we have in our lives and compared to where God is in His holiness. And we'll be able to ask for forgiveness. And when we see that forgiveness that we've gotten, see how far we've come, then we'll be able to forgive others the way we ought to. A person who never forgets, truly never forgives. Once we get our forgiveness right with the Lord, we get that relationship right, we can start to forgive others. So basically, in your church family, you can either enjoy or you can endure. It's up to you what you want to do with it. I know a lot of kids that aren't serving today, and a lot of preachers' kids that aren't serving today because their parents wouldn't forgive. Now, they're adults now. I mean, their spirituality is their responsibility. But there was a responsibility of that parent to train up a child in the way they should go, and they didn't do it because they were bitter at so-and-so at church. They just couldn't let something go. And you can hear it in their voices. They still repeat the same things their parents say, you know, that we're all a bunch of hypocrites and backstabbing preachers and all that other stuff. They have fried preacher for lunch after church and the whole nine yards, but the only way we're going to move on as a church and be effective is if we have that forgiveness. We've been forgiven of everything. You realize where you'd be today if you weren't saved? Amen. You've been forgiven of everything. Amen. And you're still waiting for whoever to come and say they're sorry to you before you forgive them. That's just wrong. Before you go and forgive them, you need to ask God to forgive you. If our fear's in the right place, we'll see where we're at. And we'll have the right fellowship. But we can't have that right fellowship unless we have forgiveness. Number four is our food. In Psalm 34:8. I've noticed this a lot. Not because I've been here, but because this is where I've learned to serve and this is where I've grown the most. I'm not saying this point right here is because of what I've noticed here. But Psalm 34:8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. A lot of times our fear and our fellowship and our faith, our forgiveness, everything isn't right because our appetite isn't right. Where are your spiritual taste buds at? Now, I'm not saying this just... I'm saying this about churches in general. My dad was in the Coast Guard. I've been all over the place. Every church we come to, it's the same. It doesn't matter how big the church is. Percentage-wise, the kids in Sunday school and junior church and the Wednesday night program is huge. And then you go to people that turn 18 that go into college and career and people my age and their class is either really small or their attitude just really stinks. It does. Just everywhere. I was in there. I was one of them. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. And then you get to the older couples, or you get to Brother Clark class. How is that right anyway? You can't call people old, but if you call them older, that's past tense. How is that better? I don't understand that. Neither is good, thank you. But you get to those classes, and they're big too. And somewhere along the way, it just kind of starts out big, and then it gets small, and then it gets big again. It's because our appetite changes. Our spiritual appetite has changed. Where is your food at? What are you eating on? What are you snagging on? I see it all the time. Now, I'm not up in the adult singles class there. I don't know what their struggles are. I don't know where their strengths are. But I know in general, all around the country, every church I've been to, that class has been weak and anemic. It's been terrible. And it's not the teachers. I've seen the teachers pulling their hair out, planning activity after activity, just pouring their hearts out to these people, visiting them all the time, praying with them, spending time getting their kids together to play and everything else. And there's just no attitude of wanting to do anything because they're full already. There's a lot of people that have babies around here. Voorhees baby's my favorite right now. I don't know her name. Her name is just Voorhees baby. But Voorhees baby's mommy feeds her good. They feed her all the crunchy green stuff and things that I wouldn't eat ever because it's healthy stuff. They want to take care of their baby. With any baby, it's true. They're going to eat peas and carrots and all that stuff that's good for them that tastes nasty until you give them ice cream. And if you go to any of our church events and you see that baby, she knows if it's in a milkshake, she knows whatever. It's ice cream. They're after it. She does. You put peas up there and you put ice cream. Which one's the baby going to choose after they tasted the ice cream? No more peas and carrots. And the same way goes with us spiritually. Now, I know that a lot of times it's the scheduling. We have kids now, and they got to go to soccer, and they got to do this, and they got to do that, and we got this, and we got that. But where's your spiritual appetite? What is the emphasis? When you're driving in a car, you have lots of mirrors you need to look at, but you need to be looking forward most of all. We don't need to be ADD with our spiritual lives. Where's your appetite at? And my appetite's changed on and off too. I know how it is. There's been a times where I've hungered and thirsted for things of Lord, and I want to get into it. And I come to church, and I sit down in the pew, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready. It's like, come on, bring it on. And then there's some days that I say, you know what? It's really hot in here. I think I'm just going to go to sleep. It happens to everybody. But where's your appetite? You want to be effective for the Lord? You need to have the right appetite. And if you're a teacher and you're frustrated with your class, think about it. Maybe their appetite's not where it needs to be. Maybe you can't feed them the Word of God because they're already full. Or maybe you're already full. I don't know. Where's your appetite at? When you're not feeding on God's Word, you're losing. If you feed a baby ice cream every day, it's not going to be good. You're going to have a lot of problems, and that baby's not going to grow up the way he ought to. And it's not going to be fit as they ought to be. They're not going to be healthy. Maybe that's what they want all the time, but you can't give them that all the time. Where's your spiritual appetite? Now, I know this isn't true about everybody, but, you know, we talk about encouragement. The church should be in your encouragement upstairs. And there's a lot of people that are depressed because their appetite's wrong. Not just their physical appetite, their spiritual appetite. I guarantee if you go to the pastor for any reason, whether you're depressed, you're having marital problems, whatever it is, the first thing he's going to ask you, how's your devotional life doing? It ought to be the first thing every pastor asks. I know our pastor will. And most of them will say, you know, it's not where it ought to be. Now, I know there's chemical things for depression and things like that. I understand that. But the majority of it is, it's a spiritual problem. We're not where it ought to be. If you're not feeding yourself spiritually on the right things, you're going to be losing out. Some of us, we are feeding on the Word of God, but we're snacking on it. We're not getting it all in. We're not getting what we need. If you want to be effective for the Lord, you have to feast on the Word of God. So the ingredients we need are fear and fellowship, forgiveness and food, and our last one is faith. Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:16 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Where's your faith at? We want to be effective for the Lord. We want to be profitable servants. But it says right here, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That means no matter what you're doing right now, without faith, it displeases the Lord. You must. It's not worth anything. I can do stuff for this church. I'm on staff here. I could do things for the Lord, you know, for this church all day long, but not breathe for the Lord. Be faithless work. It'd just be a labor instead of a labor of love. And it's not going to count for anything. It's not effective. The Lord's not going to bless that. If you don't have your faith in the right place, you're not pleasing God now with your life. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for me. You need to be just trust the Lord with your needs, whether it's your tithe or whatever. I know times are tough. Tithe is hard for a lot of people. I know some people that just started tithing this year, and they've been preacher kids their whole lives. I said, you know what? I just started this tithing thing, and you know what? It's really hard, but it really works. It's amazing. Our faith needs to be where it ought to be. You need to realize that God can meet every need. And I used to have people tell me, you know what? God's not going to give you anything you can't handle. And that's not true. God's not going to give you anything He can't handle. He wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to trust Him. Where is your faith? And I'm trying just in my regular day-to-day life to let other people do things for me. I don't like to do that. No, you're going to do it wrong. No, I know how to do it right. No, you're not going to show up or whatever. I don't have faith in people. I know that spiritually I need to work on that in my own life. But it's just a reflection of everything else. I need to have the faith to let go and let God take over and take control. If I had the fear of God the way I ought to, and had the fellowship with God the way I ought to, I'd be able to have the faith with God the way I ought to. All these things connect. All these things are together. If you're not a profitable servant for the Lord, check your ingredients for being a profitable servant. Check your ingredients of being effective for the Lord. Where are you at with that? Are you hungry for it? Is your appetite right? Where's your food? Where's your forgiveness? Where's your faith? Your fellowship? Your fear? I don't know where you're lacking and where you're not. But if you don't have all the ingredients, you can't make the recipe right. And pretty soon, Brother Tim's going to come up and sing, and we're going to have an invitation. And I'm not here to count how many people come to the altar. I don't really want to know. I don't know where you stand with God. But I know Preacher and everybody else here that they want you to grow in the Lord. Wherever you're at in your spiritual walk, we want you to get closer to the Lord. We want to be in unity together. I know where I'm not where I need to be. I want to be a profitable servant. I want to serve the Lord effectively. How big is God to you? Where's your fear at? Where's your fellowship with the Lord? If you have a hard time making friends here, maybe your fellowship's not right with the Lord. Where's your forgiveness, your food, and your faith? Get the ingredients right. Let the Lord take care of the rest. He'll make you a profitable servant. He'll make you effective. I don't want to go before the Lord and say, I'm an unprofitable servant, and I've just done what my duty is to do. Right now I'm just working on trying to get the duty part done. But if I have the ingredients right, I know the Lord will take care of the rest. So whatever you do tonight, just take these verses, hopefully you wrote them down, and just check up on yourself every now and then. Make sure you're where you need to be in your spiritual walk. If you want this church to grow, we have to be in one accord. We have to be effective servants together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your words were spoken here, not mine. That your word wouldn't return unto you void, Lord. I don't want to be a foolish servant, Lord. I don't want to be ineffective for you, Lord. I want to be a profitable servant. And I want everybody else to be a profitable servant, Lord. I want us all to serve the Lord effectively. But I can only manage my own heart. I can only manage my relationship with you, Lord. Nobody else is responsible for my spirituality. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to get right, as well as others, that would be effective as servants for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.